Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Evening, church. You may open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10, we're continuing in our series in Proverbs. And tonight we are considering the mighty tongue, the tongue. If you don't know where Proverbs is, if you roughly in the middle of your Bible, you'll find Psalms. After Psalms is Proverbs. Proverbs 10, verse 18 to 21. We're just going to read those four verses, but we'll be considering a number of verses throughout Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, 18 to 21. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Let us pray. Lord, even as we consider the tongue, I pray for my tongue. As I speak, may I not speak my own thoughts and opinions. May I speak that which comes from you, which comes from your word. May you speak, O Lord, in spite of my tongue being the one that moves. We have sung in faith that our God hears us. We pray in faith that our God hears us. And now we come to your word in faith that our God speaks to us. So speak, O Lord, I pray. May your word, may your truth find fertile ground in our hearts that we might live to your glory. Pray this in your name and to your glory. Amen. It is my observance in our society, in our culture, and even regrettably sometimes in the church, that we have this way of diminishing the value of words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, one might say. Another expression I came across: words are like water off a duck's back. In other words, words have no effect on people or situations. It's just words. Many an insensitive word, many a slice of gossip, many a sip of tea, many a crude joke slip through our lips. And we let it slip through because, I was just kidding. I didn't mean it like that. I was just sharing information. You didn't think I could keep that to myself, did you? It's just a little white lie. It's just a little white lie. But the Word of God gives us much direction on these matters. Direction, in fact, is putting it lightly. It tells me how we ought to use our tongues. And it also tells me and you with clear instruction how we ought not to use our tongues. There is the matter of the heart. We know as Christians we are still battling it out with the flesh. Just because I am saved, it does not mean I am sinless. We know that. And we know that even within our hearts, there are these hidden sins of pride and envy and selfishness and ego. There is hidden motive within our hearts. But when you consider the practicality of sinning, the things that you do outwardly, I propose to you that chief amongst those things is how you use your lips, your tongue. Every single day we open our mouths and we speak. God's word has a great concern for what happens and what comes out when we do speak every single day. God's word has a great concern for that little thing that lies behind your lips, in your mouth. You might think it is insignificant. You might think the words that come out of your mouth are insignificant, but I put it to you tonight, it is not and they are not. We read it earlier in James. I think Isaac read it. It is a restless evil, this tongue of ours. Just still an introduction, just to illustrate further God's concern for the use of our tongue. A commentator pointed this out. If you look at the Ten Commandments, 2 out of the 10 commandments show concern for how you use your tongue. 2 out of the 10 commandments relate directly to how you use your tongue. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Not only should you not blaspheme it and use it as a swear word, but when you do use it, you ought to use it with reverence and with respect. Secondly, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not lie. God in that situation has just rescued his people from Egypt. He is guiding them towards the promised land. For the first time in history, he is revealing his written law to them. These are the laws that are going to hold the nation of Israel together moving forward. They ought to have, at least. This is the law of God that he would build his chosen nation upon. Among them, we see God has great concern for how his people use their tongues. This is not a matter of insignificance. How I use my tongue is the difference between God being glorified in my life and God being mocked in my life. It's the difference between peace and war. It's the difference between righteousness and good as opposed to evil and sin. It's a difference, it's the difference, I put it to you tonight, between a healthy church, a unified church, and a church that is full of strife and division. How we use our tongues matters to God, and how we use our tongues deeply affects the rest of our lives. Just 2 points tonight as we consider this mighty tongue from Proverbs. The lengthier points, the first one, we'll address the evil of the tongue and the many forms that this evil takes. Secondly, a briefer point, we will address the potential for good that we hold in our tongue. And then we will conclude with some application. Firstly, let us address this evil of the tongue. We will name these evils one by one. I have 5 of them. But consider with me first, just this point, the potential for destruction that you hold in your mouth. James was right. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. By a single match that you light. How great a forest is set ablaze. How many arguments start here? How many divorces start here? How many families are divided because of this thing behind your lips? How many churches have split because of this thing? How many friendships have evaporated into thin air because of this thing? There's some youth here tonight, schoolgoers. How many fist fights have started with this thing? I remember from my days as a school child, don't follow my example. How many visits to the principal's office started because I couldn't keep this thing shut? In our mouths, one preacher said, in our mouths we have a weapon of mass destruction. We like to pretend that the words we speak just evaporate into thin air and we never have to give an account for them. But they don't. They hurt. They destroy. They divide. They break down. They do this to others, and even so, they invite trouble to our doorstep. Proverbs 12, verse 18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 18, verse 6 to 7, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Words have the potential for destruction. Therefore, watch what you say. Secondly, the sin from our mouths, it is likely the easiest of sins. I've said it is likely chief amongst the sins that we commit practically and outwardly. He or she, consider this, he or she who has a weakness for alcohol, they have to walk, or they have to get into their car and drive to the shop. And then they have to pay in order to satisfy their weakness or their sinfulness. He or she who would plot the demise of another and take up a weapon and murder, that takes time and thought. Even he or she whose sin, whose weakness is pornography, they have to search for something, they have to click on something, and maybe they even have to buy data to get there. But our tongue is set in our mouth. And our mouth is set, unfortunately for us, in our heads. And it takes mere fractions of a second for evil to go from here to here. And once it's out, it's out. It's not coming back. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Words have the potential for destruction. Therefore, watch what you say. Words, sinning with your words, it is easy. It is always nearby. It is a sin that takes very little effort. So watch what you say. Guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. Let's give names to some of the tongue's evils. Let's be specific. I have five of them written down. Number one, lying. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Have you ever lied? When last did you lie? Was it a big lie? A small lie? A white lie? Did you try and cover it up with a few more lies? What lies did you tell yourself to try and justify that original lie? There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. A lying tongue. Here's another question. Are you trustworthy? When you open your mouth and you speak, does truth come out? Can you be depended upon that when you open your mouth, you aren't living some pretend life? You aren't spinning tales for the sake of your own benefit, for the sake of defending yourself, for the sake of making yourself look better, for the sake of furthering your own cause. When you open your mouth, does truth come out? Christian, I hope truth comes out of your mouth. I hope you are not willingly going against God. Lies do not become us. We ought, and in each of these things that I'm going to list, we ought to look different from the world. We ought to look different from the world. That's lying. Number two, slander and gossip. Proverbs 10:18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Proverbs 11, verse 9, with his mouth a godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. Proverbs 16, verse 28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Lastly, Proverbs 26, verse 20, for lack of wood the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, where there is no gossiper, quarreling ceases. Do you slander and gossip? Is your voice heard cowering in dark corners, whispering things about people that you will not say to their face? Do you spread rumors about people? Do you take someone's character and reputation and try and smear it with words? This is not tea being spilled. This is sin in the eyes of God. This is no light matter. Because I want to scratch this little gossip itch. I have to spread things about and destroy people's lives. We hurt. We bring about division because I just had to open my mouth and say something. This isn't just about fabricating stories about people and making up lies about them. That is sinful. But even going about speaking truths. If you speak the truth in the absence of the person you're speaking about, and you do so with the motive and the intention of bringing them down because they disagreed with you, and you think you are right, that is sinful. When did you become the judge? When did God set you as an authority over his people? Why ask yourself this? Why are you always right? And why do you always find the need to tell people, other people, how right you are as you smear someone else's character and reputation? We know the passage well in Matthew. If you have a grievance against someone, you ought to start by talking to them, especially within the church. And that's not just a box to be ticked. You're not just opening your mouth and talking to them just so that you can skip to the next step and tell everyone else about it. No. You reason with them. You beg with them. You want to find peace with them. And in the process, you search your own heart on the matter. You don't just assume, oh, they are the sinner and I am in the right. No. If you have a grievance with someone, you start with them, by talking to them. Before the corridors hear about it, they ought to hear about it. The person you have a grievance with. And when that person has heard about it, even then, still the corridors don't need to hear about it. You don't need to spread it around. The whole church doesn't need to hear about your little petty grievance. You don't need to gather a following of people who agree with you in order to make peace with your brother or sister in Christ. No, you don't need those things. Go and talk to them. Talk to them earnestly. Talk to them with an actual desire within yourself to find peace. And if there's still no peace, then you can take a witness. But gossip and slander have no place in the Christian's mouth. It ought not be. A quote, Jonathan Edwards, "He that has a slandering tongue cannot have an innocent, holy heart. The heart can never be holy as long as the tongue is unbridled and filthy." Christian, leave that stuff alone. There ought not be gossip and slander in your mouth. Number three, flattery. Proverbs 26:28, "A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin." Proverbs 29:5, "A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet." The evil of the tongue is not just in the bad lies, the lies that seek to destroy, but also in the good lies. The lies that seek to offer some sort of encouragement, but just end up offering a false sense of security. The way we coddle each other's weaknesses, or even worse, each other's sins and sinfulness. Because we are not man enough, or even better, we are not Christian enough to look someone in the eye and tell them, "Brother, sister, that is wrong. That is sinful." In the case of the unbeliever, you look them in the eye and you say, "My friend, your meditations, your interest in religion, your sacrifices, they are not enough. They cannot save you. My friend, I respect for the students. I respect that you have tests and assignments, and I know studies are rough. But you haven't been to church in 3 months. Where are you with God?" You don't flatter them. You tell them the truth. When you die, can you give an account before God? Do you know that your degree is not a real excuse for neglecting God and church for months on end? But no. We flatter. We beat about the bush. We look over the fence at our neighbors' houses and we compliment them on how wonderful their houses are. But we do so knowing full well when the rains come, their houses are built on sand and they will sink. We flatter. And so, where we should be instruments of grace unto our neighbors and our friends, we end up just being stepping stones unto their destruction. We should be instruments of grace, but we end up being culpable in weaving and spreading a net for them to trip and fall into. That is flattery. It ought not come from the Christian's mouth. It is deceit. It is a lie. Have you flattered your neighbors? Have you flattered your friends? Do you flatter your brothers and sisters in Christ? Under this disguise of being kind and being gentle, do you just let anything go and end up not standing for anything? Christian, it ought not be so. Keep flattery out of your mouth. Number four, rash or harsh words. Proverbs 12:18, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 15:4, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." If you have been on the receiving end of harsh words, you know how long they stick with you. Some of the students will be familiar with the story. I've told it often when talking on matters of the tongue. I'm not sharing because I'm scarred. I'm just sharing because I remember the words. Life has been good to me, but it was gooder to me when I was young. I used to be on the chubby side. Height also helped stretch it out a bit. But anyway, we were swimming this one time. I was a child, very young, decades ago. In my innocence, I took off my t-shirt. And a child pointed to me and said, "Fatty." It's decades later, I still remember it. Words hurt. Words have a way of sticking with you that nothing else will stick with you. There's a Zulu expression, "Umenzi uyakhohlwa kodwa umenziwa akakhohlwa." Translation, he who does, he forgets. He who is done to, he does not forget. Each of us, I am sure, can remember a harsh word in our direction. It sticks with us. It is not easily forgotten. It hurts us. It feels, as the proverb says, it feels like a thrust of a sword, like a dagger in the back, and it breaks our spirit. We easily remember the harsh words said to us. Have you said harsh words to others? Have you been unnecessarily pointed in your speech and blunt and mean? You speaking your truth, that's nice. Have you put any thought into how your truth is received on the other end? Into how your words are received? Is the church just another platform for you to speak as you like, when you like, and how you like? Do you think about the words that you say? How many people have you left in the wake of your destructive words? And then you're surprised when anger and conflict and strife comes up. I'm telling you now, it doesn't matter who started it. You have the choice. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Will you be soft? Will you be harsh? Will you be the Christian in the situation, or will you choose to make it worse? Will you be the peacemaker, or are you there just to add more fuel to the fire? Harsh words do not belong in the Christian's mouth. They do not belong. Number 5, false witness. Proverbs 6, verse 16. We read it again. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies. Proverbs 19, verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. What is false witness? It is someone who is silent, either silent about the truth, or he purposefully withholds the truth, or he manipulates the truth according to his or her standards and preferences. We don't get to play fast and loose with the truth. The truth is not an abstract concept that we get to choose when it suits us best. No, we live by it. We rejoice in the truth. We celebrate it when the light penetrates the darkness and when that which was once hidden is now brought into the light. It is a type of lie, false witness. But your lie is not just deceit on your lips. Your lie is purposefully going against the well-being of your neighbor. Your lie is going against the pursuit of justice in your society. Your lie is going against the glory of God, because God glories in the truth. False witness has no place on the Christian's lips. It is evil. God hates it. Lying, slander and gossip, flattery, harsh words, false witness. These are but some of the evils that come from our lips. That too often come from the lips of those who profess to believe in Jesus Christ. I return to what we read earlier. I return to James. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. They ought not be so. That is the evil of the tongue. Secondly, let us address the tongue's potential for good. Proverbs 13, verse 2 and 3. From the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good. But the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Appreciate with me that we ought to guard our mouths. Appreciate with me that the solution to all of this is not a vow of silence. The point is not to go become some Tibetan monk in the mountains who only speaks once a year. Your tongue has the potential for good. I acknowledge it is a battle, it is an uphill battle, it is a hard battle. But if you are in Christ, if Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins, if you are saved, if your heart is transformed, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then your tongue, if you will put in the effort to tame it, if you will beat it into submission, if you will take the Word of God seriously and apply it to how you use your tongue, then by God's grace, your tongue has the potential for good. By God's grace, rather than dwelling in lies, rather than inventing alternative realities in your head, you will embrace the truth. By God's grace, rather than breaking people down and spreading gossip around the church for fun, by God's grace, you'll be quick to forgive. By God's grace, you will hold your tongue when you have that special piece of information. By God's grace, you will value winning people more than you value winning arguments. By God's grace, rather than flattering people into hell, by God's grace, He will give you the words to speak the truth in love. By God's grace, you will not be a false witness, but you will witness to the truth. Witness to the truth of your neighbor's happenings. Yes, that's important. But witness also to the truth of God. Do you realize when you sin, when I sin, that we are false witnesses to God and His ability to save me and sanctify me and for Him to be glorified in my life? By His grace, I can witness faithfully and truthfully to the one true God, to the only God worth witnessing about. Rash words like a sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise, it brings healing. Perverseness in the tongue, it breaks the spirit, but a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 15:23, to make an apt answer is a joy to man and a word in season. How good it is Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. What do we want our words to be filled with? What are we striving after? What came to my mind? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. May those things fill our speech. Let's make some applications. Number one, biblically, according to the Bible, you and I probably shouldn't speak as much as we do. Genuinely. This is my practice. I'm not saying I always get it right. But if I have a harsh word for someone, if I feel justified in it, but I know it's harsh. I know it has the potential to be misunderstood or to be received badly. I would rather sleep on that. Often the next day, God has either granted me better and more gracious words, or I wake up to the fact that I was wrong in the first place. But be slow to speak. Rather look dumb by staring into the distance for 1 minute than by snapping back and in an instant you fall into sin. Be slow to speak. Secondly, beware. I've called it, beware of the snowball. Beware of the tit for tat. Beware of using the sins of others to commit sins of your own. Often this is how arguments and disagreements go. It escalates. It gathers momentum. And we end up firing back at each other. And we, both of us, are trying to prove who is right and who has the better responses. And it never ends. A gentle word can bring that whole thing crashing down. Rather sacrifice your pride about being right and end that argument with a gentle word than cause the whole world to end over a petty argument. Beware of the snowball. Beware, thirdly, the scene of words. Words do not occur in a vacuum. Words are spoken to one another. Two quotes to illustrate this. Thomas Watson. He who raises a slander, he who gossips, he carries the devil in his tongue, and he who receives it carries the devil in his ear. Quote from Spurgeon, slander is a poison which kills charity. It kills love, both in the slanderer and in the one who listens to it. It is an arrow that flies in darkness, and it does so much more mischief because it cannot be easily guarded against. Beware of the scene of words. Beware of the friends, the family, the spouse who just lap up your gossip and your slander and your lies and never hold you accountable to the truth. Beware. Fourthly, there's a matter of the heart. We know from Scripture, what you speak with your mouth, with your tongue, it has already happened in your heart. And so the point is not to brush your teeth more often. You can brush, you can floss, you can have mints that you chew on. I've seen some people even spray their mouths. Those things will not help you. No, assess yourself. It's a scary thought. Me, if I look back at this week alone, just this week, how much meaningless, unhelpful, hurtful nonsense has come out of my mouth. What does that say upon my heart? Christian, look at the words, look at the things that come out of your mouth and ask yourself about the state of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your breath stinks, it means there's something rotten inside of you. It ought not be so. If you are a believer, seek God on that matter. Heed the words of God. Ask Him to sanctify you. Ask Him to deal with the bitterness inside of you, the unforgiveness inside of you, so that you may leave that sin alone. These things do not belong in the mouths of Christians. Guard your mouth. If you are an unbeliever, obviously the world is a better place if you use your tongue wisely. But I'm not asking you for that. I ask that of myself and of my fellow believers, because when we consider our standing with God, it is foolishness to continue in this evil. But of the unbeliever, what's in your heart? Are you tired of malice? Are you tired of the tit for tat? Are you tired of all the strife and division and the constant arguing with people? May I suggest to you, your problem is not that you're lacking in wisdom and how to use your tongue appropriately. No, your problem is you need Jesus. You need a transformed heart. So I ask you, if you are an unbeliever, please turn to Him tonight. He'll deal with your swearing later. He'll deal with your gossip later. But bring your sins before Him tonight and you will be forgiven. Gaze on the cross of Jesus Christ and acknowledge your need for Him. Put your faith in Him. He will not turn you away. Let us pray. Lord, I pray this often, I say this often. Easier preached than lived. Strengthen me, start with me. Sanctify me. Do that work in my heart, so that what comes out may glorify you. Help me to guard my heart, that I wouldn't use my sinfulness as an excuse to just blurt it all out. May my speech bring glory to you. May our speech bring glory to you. Help us in this. To you, in your name and to your glory, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.